Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, let go. You're rolling 1JNJ, 92.9 FM, ESPN on a Tuesday. Coming in here skipping, because anytime Jaren Jackson Jr. gives you a game like that, 31 points, I'm going to put a little extra pep in your step. Hopefully it did for you after watching the Grizzlies beat the Clippers / House Slippers, because that's what old men need, House Slippers. Thought there'd be a little bit more fight from the clip joint. But apparently it's all over for them. Good news for the Grizzlies. You get to play them, what, 3 times in 18 days, I think it's been, and you've beaten them all.
Yep.
So they've sort of been the get-right team, sort of like John's Raiders in the NFL. Clippers been a get-right team for you, and that's great for the Grizzlies. Ja Morant at the end. Hopefully you just tweaked that thing, the ankle. Turned it at the end. Heard Michael Wallace on the call. Said, Ja, because you saw it. Ja has a tendency to be dramatic. Was that a proper description? At times with the injuries, hopefully it's nothing, you know, that's going to linger, nothing going to keep him out for, because we've had enough. We've had enough of the injury outs and ins and everything else. But Grizzlies get the win. That's good news. 121-103. John, how are you feeling about Grizz win and NBA Cup tonight?
I'm feeling great. And let's go, Jaren. Let's go, buddy.
We called him out to the mat, and he performed.
He did. He loves playing the Clippers. His best games this year have been against the Clippers.
And it, are we not seeing that offense tied to his defense? 5 blocks.
Most definitely.
When he is hooping on the offensive end, he's a defensive nightmare.
Right. And that tends to be, you know, the way it works. But
some things in sports are just true.
Yep. So we'll get into all of that today on the show. Grizzlies win last night in Los Angeles, late one. Everybody's kind of dragging ass a little bit today at work. There's no doubt about that.
Worth it.
You got a lot going on, man. You got the holiday malaise setting in. People are starting to feel Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Things aren't getting done. Production down. Late night last night. Hopefully managers and bosses around the world will allow that.
Give your people a break.
A little bit of grace. A little bit of grace. For a late night in L.A. and the holiday season. Open up your hearts, people. Open up your hearts. Big show today. Jessica Benson is going to join us. She had a great ad on social media for the airport. You know, I've long accused her of taking money from companies in exchange for positive reviews. This one was definitely that. It was a paid partnership.
Cool.
This is a show about transparency and accountability.
Mm.
But that's not what we will talk to Jessica Benson about, although it was a great spot. I don't know if you saw it.
I did not.
It's a great ad. Made the Memphis Airport look absolutely, and it is fantastic. Let's be clear about that. You know, I mean, I get we're trying to raise awareness for the airport.
Yeah,
the new,
it's one of the great airports in America.
You know, the Simmons Bank, FedEx Forum, not the only things that have undergone a new, you know, makeover over the last few years.
So is this wall behind me.
This wall behind you is looking beautiful and black and red and white, but mostly black. You know,
you were up late last night.
I was, man. I was watching the game, man. I'm loyal to the soil of the Memphis Grizzlies. But Jessica Benson will join us at 11:25. We'll talk to her about that win and more at 11:25. Then at 1:25, I don't know if I'd say we're going to put a bow on it, but Frank Bonner is going to join us at 1:25. And, you know, listen, there hasn't been a lot since the last – I think we talked to him after Charles Huff retired last week. So there hasn't been a ton of debate, although I guess Huff was introduced.
Yeah, not since his introduction, right?
Yeah, we haven't talked to him since Huff was introduced. So, you know, we'll get Frank's thoughts on.
Still working on OC, right?
Still working on the OC.
Okay.
Big one. A big hire.
It is.
Maybe, you know, as usual, maybe the most important.
We've seen some guys hit the portal as well. I'm not sure it'll have anything. In terms of some big names, quarterback-wise,
yes.
I'm not sure it'll have anything to do with Memphis, but yes. Plenty to discuss in the world of college football and Memphis football.
Yeah, Reggie Howard said that he expects everybody to play, even the ones that have hit the portal, which is interesting. So, I guess why not, right?
Respect.
Yeah, so we'll talk to Frank Bonner about all of that in the third hour. So, that is the show today. Also, Jason has a little Christmas conundrum. Yes.
It's a real dilemma.
A little Christmas conundrum on his hands. Look, it's a good problem to have. It's not a bad problem, but it is still something that he's going to have to work through, and maybe we'll help him do it at some point today on the show. If he wants to, if he seeks.
No, I think I'd appreciate that.
Yeah. All right. Grizzlies. They win. Hell yeah. Grizzlies go on the road. 121-103.
There it is.
There it is. Again, it's a late morning, late night. You know, the growl's a little, you know, it's still kind of rolling around in bed. But 121-103, your final on the road at L.A. What a disaster that team is, first and foremost. 25% of the Grizzlies' wins this year have come against the Clippers, I believe. And, you know, that thing is going nowhere fast. And they don't even own their pick. That goes to OKC. So that's a disaster.
Their problems.
True disaster. Yep. Jared Jackson Jr., 31 points for him, which, look, we know we're not going to get that out of him every single night, but that is exactly what you were waiting to see. You know, he's been bad in the month of December, and he saw this matchup with the Clippers. You know, obviously not a ton of size there. You know, they play pretty small. They just have Zubac there in the middle, and then, you got Harden and Kawhi and Chris Dunn. So pretty small team relative to Jaren, and he took advantage of it again. 31 points last night, 5 blocks, like you mentioned, 2 steals. So he was engaged in every way. That's my $50 million man right there.
Well, we said it wasn't just on Jaren. It was also on Isolo. And asked that question to Jeff yesterday. We know, if nothing else, it's 50-50. Like, Isolo had to go out of his way to get him going. You're talking about a guy that's averaged 10 points over his last 5 games. Jaren was out of it offensively. And last night you saw them go to him early.
Yep.
And you got four shots there first couple of minutes of the game. And they made a concerted effort to do it. You got him going. And that's what you needed to see. You needed this sort of response from Jaren. It's good that it can come in a win. And you need to see it consistently now. I'm not expecting it, like you said, to be 31 points. But now that he has had one, hopefully confidence going up. Listen. You know, trying to slow down, just throw in to Jaren, because he was. I mean, you were... He's going past Zubac, you know, doing Jaren things, going to the basket and everything else. Getting that incorporated when you've got everybody, that's another step. But the step that you needed to take before that was just getting Jaren back to ground level.
Yep.
Because he was obviously out there frustrated. The shots were not falling, and at times he wasn't getting shots. And so Jaren, early on, you got him involved, and maybe you could have gotten him even more involved. We talked about it in the second half there, especially since he was rolling. Hopefully that can continue. It has to be a partnership there in terms of Isolo adjusting the offense for Jaren and Jaren stepping up. Again, the rebounds are one thing. You don't mind that as much when you get the defensive activity back up because he's having a good game offensively. That's what you needed from Jaren.
Yeah.
But now you need it, you know, against Minnesota. You need it the next night.
Right.
You need it consistently from him.
Yeah,
it's nice to see it from one game.
That's right. That's exactly right. I don't want to go crazy over.
He had to break out of the slump.
Right. It was non-negotiable.
And the Grizzlies needed him out of it.
Yes.
But again, shout out to the guys who haven't been up and down. Cam Spencer last night. I mean, this guy has been an absolute revelation.
Yeah.
For them, 7 of 10 from three. The way he is shooting the ball here. Looking like a Luke Kennard 2.0, but better version.
Mm-hmm.
You know, frankly, he's taking better care of the ball when he's being asked to do that now, because early on he was a turnover machine. I mean, the way he has stepped up at a time where you've got Ty Jerome out, Scottie Pippen Jr. out. But back to the point, he's been consistently doing this now. His shooting has been a revelation for this team. You're going to have a hard time keeping him off the floor when those guys get back.
Yeah, I mean, he played 30 minutes, to your point. I mean, He was a kind of a slick closer in that fourth quarter.
No doubt.
You know, I mean, they kind of had cut it to, what was it, 9 or 11, and, you know, he kind of puts it away, you know, with his shooting, which is kind of, I mean, again, what he's done. He's shooting, like, what, 63%?
It's nuts, man. He's looking like a guy that needs to be in a three-point contest, whether the NBA allowed or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
But what he's done here the last couple of games, he's among the elite right now in terms of guys that, you bank on it going in.
Yeah, it's he's shooting 64% in his last 10. That is a hell of a job by the Grizzlies front office identifying him as somebody that could come in. They're getting 12 a game from him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a season that they're still trying to make the play in. This isn't like, oh, we're stripping everything down and we're just letting all the young guys go out there and run. I mean, they're still trying to get, you know, make something of this season.
13 of 19 in the last two games. He was 6-6 last game is nuts.
It does feel like it can never just be a good day, though. You know, that's the problem with the Grizzlies. It's like, even though you get 31 from Jaren, you get 27 from Cam, Ja leaves the game. It's like you just can never, like, you can never have a fully 100% fully unleaded, like, great night. There's always, like, some bad thing that happens, whether it's Edie getting hurt or, you know, even our man Conchar is down in action. He's going to be reevaluated in 3 weeks, Jason. Just a moment for John.
Yeah, after having the successful surgery.
Yeah.
So,
hard to know what to make of that with Ja, because they're, you know, they're still on a minutes limit restriction with him.
We'll see what the update says, because you just never know. Sometimes he turns it. It's Ja's thing. At the time, it stings him. He can be back next game. I expect him to be on the injury report.
Right.
The way you looked at it, the way he was limping, not just right after, but apparently after the game, makes you think, okay, Minnesota chances are low tomorrow night that he'll be out there.
Yep.
That's unfortunate. To your point, you just lost Edie. You know, it's my gosh, when's this going to stop?
Yep.
But I'm holding out hope that that's just another, you know, he stepped on, looked like Zubac's foot.
Yep.
He's done that before, been okay. Hopefully it's not one where you're talking, you know, grade, you know, serious ankle sprain on this one, but
yep,
you never know with him.
Yep.
So it'd be nice to catch some luck.
It really
would. It's been all bad. Just one here to go your way.
Yep.
In terms of that not being serious, even if he does have to miss the, you know, just out of precaution, miss the Minnesota game.
Yeah, it kind of makes up for the Jazz loss, right? You were a 5.5-point underdog on the road at the Clippers. You were basically a 7.5-point favorite against the Jazz. It's kind of a what? You were probably always going to go 1-1 in that stretch. You know, just on paper.
Yeah, I figured the Clippers would have more fire for you after you beat them twice.
Yep.
Here the last couple of weeks. And they are just
I think
a
that's the story,
mess.
To be honest. I mean, as good as that performance was in the Grizzlies, the fact that the Clippers laid down the way they did. I mean, they got punched in the mouth and never recovered.
To your point, it is part of the story because, again, and Harrington touched on this, he's right. Cam Spencer, they didn't have anyone to go after him.
Yep.
So he's able to be on the floor and do his thing offensively, whereas with Utah, right, that's when they made their run. And that's, again, if you've got the artillery and the firepower, you see Cam as a defensive liability, you go at him, you play him off the floor. That's what Utah did. Clippers could not do that, back to your point, because they're so shorthanded. I mean, this is an embarrassment for what they're paying guys. You circumventing salary cap, whatever you're doing, Kawhi, everything else. Look at Kawhi played 37 minutes last night and was minus 11. Completely just ineffective. Harden doesn't even get you the double-digit assists. They're putting this – they said they weren't scapegoating Chris Paul, but boy, did it look like it. And I bet he's snickering the way you dismissed him overnight, because nothing's been fixed with that.
Yep.
You arrogantly, again, let Norman Powell walk. I'll continue to talk about it because you didn't want to pay him at that age or whatever else. He had earned it with the all-star-type season he'd had last year.
Mm-hmm.
So they are a hot mess right now. And like you said, worst thing, where's the future? Because you don't have your your pick.
I mean, I don't think they did anything wrong necessarily. I mean, I could probably quibble with the roster choices, but...
Went too long on old men.
Yeah.
Dependence on old men.
Yeah. And they got close with Kawhi. I mean, there were some years there where you felt like, you know, if he had not gotten injured or whatever the case may be, that they would have been in a position to compete for a championship. But, you know, James Harden is not a guy that does that.
Starting John Collins last night, 2 rebounds.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. But I mean, even last year against the Nuggets, you know, they had, you know, Derek Jones Jr. out there. I mean, they haven't really taken advantage. I guess they've just leaned too much into thinking that Kawhi is going to be the guy that, you know, can take them there.
And that's what I'm saying. 37 minutes for him last night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he gives you 21-4. It's not same out there. You used to be 35 points, 37 points in 37 minutes.
Yep.
It's just different. And what they've got invested in him, they're certainly not getting back now.
Yeah, so Grizz, as we sort of, you know, wrap this thing up here on them, look, they're still below 500. And I don't, you know, beating the Clippers is great. It's better than the alternative, but it doesn't really change anything about, you know, their, you know, immediate future. The goal was probably to, what, be 500 by the end of the year, and hopefully, you know, sooner than later get Zach Edey back so that you can make a push for a better seed. But, I mean, this season is probably going to just be that, right? Like, this season is going to be about beating teams that are worse than you, getting into the play-in, continuing to get guys like Cedric Howard some real experience, you know, and maybe have to make some decisions along the way. I guess that's going to be the big thing right now with the Grizzlies is, you know, even though Ja got hurt, man, he did not look good in the minutes that he did play. Mm-hmm. Again, we can say injury and all those things. I do worry that we have to get the gap band out on him.
Oh, I mean, how much is the calf thing still an issue? You know, you'd like to think they took all the time they needed, but to that point, you're right. He didn't look like himself last night. But again, it's only been a couple of games, and now he's hurt again. So I will say, I mean, you're two games under 500. For what you've been through in terms of problems, yes, the schedule's helped you. But to be right here at 500, like you said, chance to get there before the end of the year.
Yep.
It's a solid place to be. Now, the issue is going to be how long Zach Edey out. Because you're a different team defensively. I know it looked better last night against, let's be real, hapless Clippers team. But Zach Edey's been the anchor. And when you were elite defensively, it's with him on the floor. So trying to be, you know, something above average defensively, which would be better, an improvement from pre-Zach Edey's return, is going to be a challenge, especially as the schedule cranks up. I'm saying all that to say, for where you are and what you've been through, the Jaren issues, Ja back and forth, injury, challenging Isolo, whatever else, you know, other, you know, Zach Edey in, out of the lineup.
Yep.
You're in a solid spot. If you're going to be better than this, we won't know until Zach Edey gets back.
Right.
But can you stay around this spot, John? That basement is so bad in the West.
Yep.
They're, I think, again, yeah, you lost to Utah, but you've sort of set the floor like we've talked about, what mm-hmm. you're not going to fall behind. That's playing. So, in the meantime, Cam Spencer, Vince Williams sort of re-engaged. You know, you found some thing. Like you said, you'll continue to get Cedric Coward important run. You know, those are the things that could – because that's your future right there. And I tell you what, man, I'm to see Cam Spencer out there shining like you got a real weapon in him.
Yep.
Even I think when – what he's shown us is maybe he can still be a part of the rotation when Ty Jerome and Scottie Pippen Jr. get back there just because of the shooting threat that he is. In whatever stretch you're going to use him, in whatever spans you're going to use him. But that dude, man, he is shown. He's got a place in the rotation with the way he can
shoot.
There's no
doubt about that.
That's elite level shooting we're seeing from him. And
yeah.
You know, you need that out there. Helps everything.
Right. I mean, if the goal is to, you know, and obviously everybody can't do it, but, you know, the model of OKC is that they're really, really deep, right? I mean, that's the thing. It's like even if, you know, certain guys miss time, they'll have players who will step up and still produce. Like, there you go. Cam could be one of those guys.
Because Ty's supposed to be close.
Right.
I think we're getting closer to Ty Jerome's return.
This is the worst calf strain in the history of calf strains.
Yeah.
Well, it happened in October.
His was serious.
Yeah. Right.
And I think, too, had a setback. Remember, I think he had there was an initial timeline, and then I think there was a, you know, reevaluation, and then a longer timeline because of a.
It was 6 to 9 weeks from November 22nd. So we're still, you know, at least 2 or 3 to 5 weeks out.
Nah, yeah, I think he's closer than that. I think he's been out there as the. I hope we're not. Right. We're not that far out from that reevaluation.
Right. 6 weeks from November 22nd will put you at about what? I guess. You know, January. So, you know, ideally that'd be great, but hard to know, especially with, like, even when they get him back, how will they play him? How will they manage those minutes?
Mm-hmm.
We know that's going to take time too.
Yeah, that's to be determined. I think that the point here is that our man Cam Spencer has carved out a spot.
Absolutely.
Because of what he's doing. And,
yeah.
And I don't think it should be dismissed. You've even gotten Jalen Wells has refound his shooting touch. So even through some of this, you know, glum of the season, losing to Utah, embarrassing, whatever else, and you look at the record, you say you'd like to be better. You've found some things here, at least for the future. You know you're not challenging OKC in these for a title this year.
That's right.
So sit back and hopefully you have more revelations in terms of these young guys like you've seen with Cam Spencer. I think that's, you know, he has been impressive.
Very much so. So, fun night last night. Grizzlies win on the road at the Clippers. Jared Jackson Jr. has 31. More of that, please. More of that, Mr. $50 million man. It'd be nice. We'll come back. Jessica Benson will join us on the other side. We'll talk to her about the win for the Grizzlies. Ja Morant, Jaren, and more. Stick around. J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Jessica Benson is the host of the Jessica Smith Show on Grind City Media with CJ Hurt. Catch her on the Grizz Radio Network. She joins us every Tuesday, and she joins us now. We do need to address, I can see it. It's in the room. It's the elephant. First of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
I know you Hello. Think you know where I'm going, but I'm not going there. I'm not going to address your business endeavors. I respect you.
I know where you're going.
Okay, I know where you're going. Perfect. Because, you know, a lot of controversy over your inclusion in the first place, okay, based on tiebreakers and head-to-heads. And you sure didn't help that discussion with your performance this week, did you?
I mean, I lost by 1.1.
I mean,
but it is one of the more embarrassing ways that I'm really disappointed in myself. It's one of the more embarrassing ways I've lost a fantasy football game. I had way too much hubris. It is inexcusable that I played the Bills defense. I should have streamed a defense. It was an idiotic move. I apologize for it. I will be back next year. I know I have to give up the belt. I'm really upset about it. On to the next.
It's wrong take. You looked like you belonged. It was old Ben Hogan, who I know is a listener.
Well, we knew Ben Hogan
like
was an absolute
team that should
joke.
Not have been in the playoffs. Jess, I salute you.
But he wasn't a tiebreaker situation.
Can I tell you what a bad year I've had in our fantasy football league? Not only do I lose in the first round of the playoffs with a team that was really coming alive at the end there, I sent our dues to the wrong Ben Hogan on Venmo, and the wrong Ben Hogan won't send me the dues back. So
Dang.
Not only have I lost this league, I've lost double my money.
That is insane.
I wonder if I've sent my dues
to
the wrong Ben
I'm having a
ben
bad
Hogan.
Time.
How do you send it to
I'm
the
so
wrong?
Sorry that
how do you do that? I mean, just curious. Don't you have like the name of the person?
Well, but it came up as Ben Hogan. And normally, if the person's not in your contacts, it asks for like the last four digits of their phone number on Venmo. But this one didn't. I don't know why. I don't understand. And all of a sudden, I sent it. And I looked at the picture and I was like, oh no, I don't think that's, I did it happenstance. I wasn't paying attention. This is failing to prepare. It's preparing to fail. I should have gotten Ben Hogan's exact Venmo information and plugged it into the app. And now I'm embarrassed. It was an embarrassing performance all around.
I'm so sorry.
I'm really curious about this Venmo situation. So have you found a way to reach the person that you sent the money to?
I've asked him twice. You can, like, request the money back is the only way you can go about it. I researched with Venmo. I reached out to Venmo customer service. There's nothing you can do. Like, if you accidentally sent, like, let's say you accidentally sent, you know, $1,000 instead of $10 to someone. There's nothing they can do on their end or will do on their end. It is solely up to the person that you sent that $1,000 to be, you know, ethical enough to send it back because you meant to send 10. Or in this case, when you send $50 to the wrong person, it's up to that person. The only thing you can do is relentlessly reach out to them and be like, hey, it's me again. Can you please send me my $50 back? I've
Damn.
Done it four times.
And what does he
I'm do?
Does,
do it again after
does he,
I get
does he
the
decline
phone.
It? Like,
no, he doesn't even decline it. So I don't even know if he's active on Venmo. What if he's not even alive?
That's true.
I've been thinking about that.
He could not be with us still. But I think everybody is basically, isn't everybody on Venmo? Or Jason, are you on Venmo?
No, I'm not.
What are you on?
I do the Cash App. Thank you.
That's an interesting.
I love the Cash App.
I do the old Cash App, and I've got now, the new thing I'm doing, Apple Pay. Now, it's old for y'all.
Apple Pay is the best.
It is the
best. No, Apple Pay is awesome.
I don't use Apple Pay.
I'm enjoying it more. It's so easy.
That's the one thing I don't use.
Me too. I use it out and about now. I don't even bring my credit card sometimes. I feel like I'm alive.
That's the one I'm on.
So let me ask you this, real last thing on this, and thank you for your accountability. Yeah. I mean, you really answered all
You're
the
welcome.
Questions
I
that I had for you before
I even
asked
them. Effort,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. Yeah. Does the actual Ben Hogan, the one in our league, has he shown you any grace for your grave mistake?
No, he took my money. No, I got to pay my dues. I understand that. It's my mistake.
Wow. You're a real role model. You're a real example.
Yeah.
And you got
to
give up that belt.
It was my mistake to play.
Yeah, you got
to. Munungai over Blake Corum.
You're
God.
Paying to give up the belt. That's awful.
It's always easy in hindsight to say that, though, in fantasy. I mean, it was not obvious that Blake Corum should have been started over Kyle Munungai. That really wouldn't have made much sense at all. So
no, especially coming off of last week where he popped off late in the game, kind of garbage time stats, but had a big game.
Right.
I was like, oh, there's no way he could do it twice in a row.
Right.
And then I'm like, I can't trust Brian Thomas. Let's keep him on my bench. Right. Well, 17 points.
Don't beat yourself up.
You know who let me down? Jameer Gibbs let me down. It was a bad week for Jameer Gibbs.
Jameer Gibbs was carrying your ass. The reason why you're in there. So
exactly.
Yeah,
the
1 week you don't get 40 from Jameer Gibbs, you lose
in a high scoring
game. Look what happened.
Yeah. I tell you what. Speaking of role models, Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yes.
31. Can we get more of that, please?
That would be great. I would sign me up for more of that. It was, I think, the most encouraging thing from last night. Obviously, Cam Spencer was incredible and was so fun to end that game. But just from things we've been so wishful to see, Jaren being from the opening Grizzlies possession where he goes at Zubats to eating the mismatches alive when Bogdanovich is on him, taking advantage of Kawhi on him, playing big, also being able to hit those threes. And then we saw what we had grown accustomed to with Jaren. When he has that motivated play on the offensive end, it's all attached to the defensive side. And so suddenly you're seeing this more aggressive defensive approach, and you see that block on Collins, and it's like, oh, that's the defensive antagonizer that we expect to see from Jaren. And just like the juice on that side of the ball, he's wrestling for rebounds. He even had some nice passes last night, 4 assists. It was just really like, I think that's been something that Grizzlies fans have been thirsting for the most. And so to see it, yes, you have to put the caveat in of, wow, the Clippers are stupendously bad. So it's a bad matchup, but he took advantage of that. And we hadn't seen him do that thus far this season.
How concerned are you? We're all trying to analyze his body language and everything else, and I guess we're all awaiting the update. But how concerned are you about the jaw ankle injury? We've seen some that haven't been so serious, but others that have. Which way did you come down on this one?
So I had an interesting way of finding out about the ankle injury because it hit 11:15 last night. Third quarter is ending, and I said, I'm going to watch the fourth in the morning. So set up the recording on my TV, close my eyes, fall asleep. I wake up to a handful of texts, and they range from Cam Spencer is the greatest shooter to currently live on planet Earth to, oh no, not again, jaw. Oh no, 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 no. And I'm like, oh God, like what happened to him? So I'm so concerned because he had the calf strain that it's something calf related. And then I immediately, before I even turn on the fourth quarter, search jaw, see the play, see the ankle roll. And I think his reaction made it I don't want to say like scarier in real time because we still don't know how bad it is, but it made you fearful because he looked to be in significant pain. And I think it's fair to also assume that mixed with that pain is like a genuine frustration. I mean, if I were Ja, I can't speak for him, but if I were Ja, I would just be flabbergasted that here I go again. Like I finally get back. I'm obviously still trying to find my footing in all of this. And I'm going to step on Zubac's foot and roll my ankle after a game and, you know, three quarters back. That stinks. So I'm hopeful that it doesn't end up being a really bad situation. I think I'd be surprised if he plays on Wednesday in Minnesota. I know the team stayed in L.A.
Yep.
last night, and he walked out of the arena on his own accord. They tried to give him crutches, and he said he didn't need the crutches. So that's a good sign. And hopefully they get some ice on it, figure out, get those electrodes attached to it, get it all souped up and ready to go, and hopefully he's back sooner than later because it just feels like if it's not one thing, it's another for this team. And unfortunately, again, we're talking about the durability of Ja Morant, and that's an unfortunate place to be in.
Yeah, so, okay, you look out at the season. You're sitting here, you're 2 games under 500. Good chance you would hope that you're at 500, maybe dare say even above 500. By the start of the new year or shortly after, what's like best case scenario for this season? Like with what you have, with you know everything going on, the start. What's best case? Is it like first round playoff appearance? You know, like what's experience for the young guys? Like what if you're gonna get something out of this season? What's the best case?
I think first round of the playoffs, and then you know to more specify on it, avoiding the play-in tournament. If you can get out of the play-in and generally fight for a 6 seed in the West, or I guess let's even dumb it down a little bit to just fighting for the 6 seed by the end of the season, where you're not so cemented in the play-in or, God forbid, outside of the playoffs. There's been enough that you've seen, despite the fact that a lot of their success has come against these teams with below 500 records, and they finally lost one of those games to the Jazz the other night. But I would say if you're in a position to be fighting for the sixth seed, that's a positive place to be. And if you can get the playoff experience for some of these young players, every minute is valuable, from Jalen Wells to Zach Edey to especially Cedric Howard to Cam Spencer. Like, eventually it gets to this point of just getting the reps and the experience. At one point, John Jaren were playing in their first playoff series, and we were talking about the invaluable nature of that added experience to the development of their game and the understanding of where this team is as a whole. So I think that would be your pipe dream when we're staring down on this thing come April.
I'm glad you mentioned him, because I use the word revelation. I think that's what Cam Spencer has been. He's second in the league in three-point percentage. But I think I might enjoy more than the threes going in, as great as that's been, like the trash talk, the juice he brings to the team. You know, Kleiman called him a dog last year, and I think some of us kind of giggled at it. But this dude and the season he's having, I don't know. It feels like you're going to have a hard time keeping him off the floor, Jess. What do you think when the Ty Jeromes and the Scottie Pippen Juniors get back? What say you?
Yeah, I don't know how you do it, because he is shooting 63% over his last 10 games and 50% on the season. It's not a fluke. It's not a small sample size. The number of attempts he's putting up from three makes this a very real thing. And also his growth as a playmaker, I think, has been really nice. That pass to Jock in the fourth quarter was sick. Like, and I find myself saying throughout games, ooh, that was a really nice look. That was really nice vision by Cam Spencer. So he's not a one-dimensional player either. I think the one place where he really needs to continue to grow is on the defensive end. Saw Isaiah Collier in the Jazz game take advantage of him. But if there's one thing I know about Cam Spencer, it's that uber competitive nature to, I mean, he's maniacal with everything he does, from the video that went around of him taking shots in the dark before exit interviews. So I would imagine if you tell Cam Spencer, hey, we love this from you, we need you to be better at this, he's in the gym attacking it every day. Yep. So from a standpoint of being able to put the heart in it and putting the attention to details into it, I would assume that he will take it personally to ensure that he is not as much of a liability on that side of the court. And that's huge for this Grizzlies team. I think it creates a good problem to have, because you want more bodies, not less. But what you do with the wing rotation or the two-guard position in late game scenarios, and when does Cam Spencer get in? But right now, if there's one person I want to take a shot from three on this team for a game winner, there's only one answer. It's Cam Spencer.
The other side of this, of course, is a reminder that it could always be worse, right? I mean, you could be the Clippers, have absolutely no direction, aging superstars that make a ton of money, and on top of it, no assets.
Yeah, it's like flabbergastingly bad. We've seen this Clippers team now three times in the last 2.5 weeks, and every time I've watched them, I've said, certainly it can't be this bad. And then it's that bad.
Yeah.
Every single time. And I haven't had a chance to read it, but I know Ramona Shelburne has a piece up at ESPN about the Chris Paul of it all, and the divorce of Chris Paul and the Clippers. And it just feels, everything feels messy. It felt messy going into the season with the Pablo Torre investigation on Kawhi and aspiration and Steve Ballmer. It feels messy with how Chris Paul finds out that he is ultimately not wanted on the team anymore. And he finds out when they're on a road trip late into the night, and this is Chris Paul, one of the biggest players in their franchise's history. And it's almost as if that mess has spilled over into the on-court product, where it's messy as well.
Spurs Knicks tonight in the Cup final. Who you with?
In the Cup. I got to go with the Spurs. I'm enjoying the Spurs. I mean, the Spurs team both terrifies me and tantalizes me. And anytime I have the opportunity to sit down and watch Victor Wembanyama these days, I am choosing to do so. So good news for the Cup on Amazon Prime. But I love this matchup. I really look back on the four teams who made the semifinals. I mean, we really could have had a example where we saw the two conference finals matchups. Like, there is a world where it's Knicks Magic, and there's a world where it's Spurs Thunder. And so they got a genuine, legit, good team matchup in the Cup finale for this year. But I think I'll roll with the Spurs. Their depth is just, it's crazy. It's not just Victor Wembanyama, and I thought their coach really, like, summarized it well after their win over the Thunder, where he said something along the lines of, you know, we recognize that Victor's the face of the franchise, but he's not the puzzle. Like, there's all these pieces working around him, whether it be Fox, Castle, Vassell, Harrison Barnes, which the Grizzlies have seen many a times this season. And they are operating at a pretty special level right now.
Talking to Jessica Benson from Grind City Media, Grizz Radio Network, here on the show. I want to get your perspective on Michigan football. Obviously, just a horrible story all the way around. But
yeah.
In terms of, you know, who you think they can get, who makes sense to you, is it Kenny Dillingham? Is it Jed Fish? Like, who makes sense for that job?
I mean, do they want Lincoln Riley? They can have him.
Oh, you're giving him up.
They can go ahead. Yeah. I would be happy to give that up for Michigan. No, it's so weird. The Dillingham of it all, I mean, he seems really committed to staying. And I obviously get the Jed Fish perspective from my mom and my family members who live in Seattle. And University of Washington fans have really fallen in love with Jed Fish and think that he's a really promising option. It was feeling dicey there early on, but now, you know, is the mess of Michigan worth leaving a secure job elsewhere for? I think that's what we're going to find out. And money can make anyone do anything, right? So put the right package together, thanks to Larry Ellison, and figure out how this works. But I don't know who they're going to hire. And that's a bonkers thing to say about Michigan football in December.
What'd you think about Huff and the presser and the juice that he brought?
He won the press conference easily. Yeah. And, you know, after when they hired him, like going through various press conference clips of his over the weekend before the hiring was made official, you could easily find yourself being like, oh, of course, he has great charisma. Yeah. Like, I can totally see how he wins an interview, how he could win a press conference, as he did when he eventually gets here in Memphis. And just, I thought the way that he talked about Memphis football was so refreshing. It's what you obviously want to hear, but the way that he is so emphatically poured into the idea that I loved his term of the apex predator nature of what Memphis is and coming into a program that's not broken. It's something that, you know, genuinely wants to compete for a championship. So now, you know, the press conference, you could say, is the easy part, but bare minimum, I think there will be a level of hope and intrigue going into next season, which should provide some juice going into the year for Memphis, just from a single change alone.
Jess, are you with this approach or plan, if it is that, with Memphis Athletics right now, where you want to do as much as you can for basketball, if it's a roster that's 4 to 5 million, and maybe you would love to have, you know, 5 million more and really go all in. But right now it feels like you have to go in all in on football. And obviously Charles Huff represents a big part of that. You mentioned it, new stadium and everything else. Is this a plan? If it's what Memphis is doing, and it certainly feels that way, are you with this plan? You subscribe to it?
You have to be. And I know Memphis basketball fans aren't going to like that answer, but right now, the most important entity in college sports at this time, and always, but specifically at this juncture, is football. And you want to do whatever you can to be worthy, to be competitive, to be a member flirting with being part of the big boys on the football side of things. And that can require a sacrifice on basketball. I was reading John's article up at the Daily Memphian earlier, just from the standpoint of, you know, Louisville's NIL package versus Memphis's NIL package, and how there are other, you know, schools out there who are able to use the $4.5 million in an effective way. And so, yes, you have to be creative with it, but I can also understand the frustration of seeing a team like a Louisville, and when it's like in there in black and white in the finance department, $10 million and $4.5 million. That's a lot of money in between. And so that can be a frustrating thing to have to figure out, sure, but it just can't be articulated enough how important the investment into Memphis football is right now.
It was really weird. I was going back and forth with Louisville fans all, and again, I don't want to like paint with the broad brush. It was like two Louisville fans, but they were like really sensitive about how much money they had. Like, it seems like the programs that have money, like, everybody wants to sort of convey that we don't have as much money as you think we have. But I don't know why. I don't know what the psychology there is. Because
that's such a rich person thing.
It really is.
As someone who went to USC and was around a lot of people with a lot of money who had that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I'd be like, what are you talking about? You're like the richest person. And they're like, I really don't have that much. Like, you're overestimating. I'm like, no, I see the clothes you wear, the bags you bought. Like, I know this.
Yes.
What are you talking about? You'd get on a plane and they'd be in like a first class seat and you'd be walking back to coach and you'd say, I thought you didn't have the money. And they're like, oh, you know, I got upgraded. Like, what am I going to do?
So yeah, that's Louisville fans.
I think that's just something people with money try to do sometimes.
It was very weird. I'm like, you guys don't, like, it's a compliment. Like, to be able to say that you have as much or more money than anybody in the sport is a compliment. It means that you are doing, you know, in this day and age, it means that you are doing what you have to do to compete for a national championship. I'm not saying that there aren't teams that have less that might still compete for, but I mean, we can play the odds here, right? I mean, that's just the reality. So
right.
I was just like, they were like really getting angry with me when I said, hey, you have more than $10 million. No, we don't. Yeah, you do. I promise you do. You have $13.5 to $14.5 million. Kaysen Pryor's making almost $1 million to average 3 points a game, and he had 11 against Memphis. Like, just embrace the fact that you have money. I wish Memphis could spend $10 million. I'd be pounding my chest about it. I'd be all about it. We have more money than you. But they don't, so I can't.
You'd be very loud about it. Yeah.
I'd be proud.
That's weird.
But see, that's, I guess, you know, when you don't come for money and then you get it, you act different too. You know what I mean?
So. Maybe that's it. Maybe, yeah. It's a weird phenomenon. But, yeah, if you're any of the schools that has the money right now, I guess maybe there's this level of feeling like a villain. Like, oh, I don't want to be a bad guy. I want to be an ethical multimillionaire in the college sports space. But, you know, just be you. You have what you have.
I think there is an element of when you talk about budgets, people who have those budgets almost think you're saying that they bought the championship or something, right? Like, to which I would say,
yeah, but don't you think we're moving away from that? Like, if Texas Tech somehow, some way, were to win the college football playoff this year, like, one of the biggest storylines would be this was the best roster that oil money could buy.
Correct.
Like, that's just a fact.
It is. I mean, now look, the games still have to be played on the field. Just because you pay for a really, really good roster, you know, I mean, Kentucky spent $22 million this year, and they're an abject disaster. They finally won a game over the weekend against Indiana, but they've been really bad. So, obviously, the games still have to be played, but it's just the truth. The more money you spend, the better access to good players you're going
right.
to have. I mean, it's just like, this is very elementary.
Yeah.
I mean, and so I wish that Memphis had $10 million. I really do. It would be a lot more fun if they did. They don't, and that's why they lose, in part, by, you know, 30 on the road at Louisville. So
yeah,
I know somebody that's got some more money after that spot on Instagram. I ain't saying no names, but you know, she may or may not
I
be
need
on
it
this
because of the money I sent the fake Ben Hogan.
There you
so
go.
Sorry about that.
There you go. I'm not in your pockets, Jess. you know, it's nothing but support
you.
And love and independent, strong woman. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
Great run,
Always.
Champ.
Thanks. See you guys.
Yep. Have a great off season. She is Jessica Benson, joins us every single Tuesday here on the show.
She joins you, fool.
There's a new champ on the way. Will it be my partner? Will he do it for the show?
I was just crafting a text to Connor and Gabe.
Oh, really?
The Gabe Kuhn Show represents one half of the Final Four.
It does.
And I'm telling them right now, I'm about to send it, that their dominance of this league. Because they both won titles, I think, since the inception of that show, since that fantastic afternoon show
right.
started. They've both won titles and dominated this league. Yes, Jess took it out of their hands last year. I'm going to continue that.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't like the Gabe Kuhn Show dominance.
Collusion. They play
the
each other.
Oh,
no, you play Connor.
No, I got to do it one by one.
Yeah.
One by one. So I'm letting them know now.
I mean, listen.
I'm coming in confident.
You should. You're a 12-point favorite.
It's a
two-touchdown favorite.
That may go up. You never know what
could
happen on the waiver wire.
It may. It may absolutely go
Maybe
up.
I'm not even looking.
Anyway, thanks to Jessica Benson for joining us on the show. We'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Monday Night Football last night. Pittsburgh. I mean, is Aaron Rodgers back? He looks a lot better the last couple of weeks. I mean, and Miami was a team that was, I mean,
playing
they bounce
well
back.
Against scrubs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it looks like.
And they put them down.
Tua can't play in the cold. That's just
they
like.
They cannot win in the cold.
He will never beat those allegations.
Yeah, and Jaron, defense tied to offense.
Yes.
Fish can't win in cold. They can't swim in cold.
That's right.
Some things in sports are just going to remain true.
You know,
forever.
I do think. I'll have to ask Charles Huff about this, but I do think biologically there are some fish that can swim in frozen waters.
Not Tua. Not Tua fish.
Not these. Not these.
No, not Tua fish.
But again, I will have to consult Charles Huff on those.
Ask him about the Tua fish.
You know, I know he knows the apex predators and things like that. A lot of prey in the American next year, I'll tell you that. You look out. A lot of prey. ECU lost somebody. They lost their quarterback, Caden Hauser.
Mm.
That's a big loss for them. You know, and they're doing the same thing we're doing in Memphis. They're like, man, it's ruined. NIL's ruined football. We can't keep nobody.
Oh, no, but we're one of the G5 halves.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Watch out for the Huff. We're looking for a QB.
Looking for a QB. Lots of options out there. I mean, he might be on the roster.
Oh, only if it's, well, no, I'll withhold that.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
Because AJ... He's not a runner, though.
Not a runner, but I mean.
Our man said he wants both.
Well, he can maybe keep both. You know, bring in a guy and then let it be a battle.
I don't want to push AJ out of here. It's the highest rated thing we've ever signed.
It's worth holding on to.
I want him in Memphis. And
yeah.
Keep him, yeah.
And again, that UAB, you know, he looked pretty good in that game.
Man. Yes.
Yeah.
Except for the one.
He had a bad pick. Yeah.
He looked the part.
He stepped right in and let him downfield, I'm pretty sure.
Did not
right?
look intimidated whatsoever. Looked absolutely the part of a prototypical pocket passer.
Exactly.
That can throw the ball all over the field.
Exactly. So
he did. He flashed.
It's something for Charles Huff to have to think about and navigate. There's no doubt about that. We'll be back. Stick around. J&J, 90 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.